Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness.
It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism. And I have a little pool here and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Today's number is... Sound effect, please. Hello? Today's number is 1. This is... timing. Don't forget, you're listening to the most professional Christian radio program on this station at this time.
Where do we find that guy?
We need a new... Hey, what are you doing here? And speaking of you, as long as you brought yourself up, okay. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. It's number 18 today.
It is. How'd you find out? You spying on me?
Well, I hear rumors on the internet. Lots of rumors on the internet, actually. Congratulations, 18 years, so it's working out?
Okay,
all right.
We're wading through.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Is marriage easier today at number 18, or was it easier the first year?
Oh, my goodness. I think it was easier the first year.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
More money. And, you know, as you grow older, you know, success, you know, your jobs get better, more income brings more problems.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
We were happier when we had nothing.
We could arrange that, Jimmy.
Please don't.
I see. That's funny because the money thing is a much bigger issue than most people realize when they get married. It can be a source of so much consternation inside of a marriage. Arguing over finances. What do we do? How do we spend? How do we save? And especially if times are tight and it gets thin. Ooh, that can put a stressor on a marriage. But I've discovered after 30 years, I would say now it's easier because we've got stuff worked out.
Yeah,
I'm dismissing the money thing for just a second. We just have things worked out. We figured out a lot of stuff about one another, and we've learned the lesson that most people never figure out before they say I do, and that is marriage is work.
Oh, for sure.
It's hard work, but it is a polisher. It will either polish you or it will rub you raw. One or the other. You can choose whichever you prefer it to be. If you want to grow in godliness, work on your marriage. If you don't, then don't. And then you'll just get annoyed because you're living with another sinner. Who wrote the book, What Did You Expect? Is a good marriage book. I can't recall the author on that. What Did You Expect? It's basically letting you know in advance, that blushing bride is a sinner, and that handsome groom is totally depraved. Now you're going to live together. And it sometimes looks less like a fairy tale and more like Halloween 3 if you do not get some things worked out in advance. Now, a lot of unprofessional radio talk show hosts at this time would give a plug for Drive-By Biblical Marriage and the Study Guide, which will focus on this very thing. To me, this is key. If you cannot see each other as sinners who have been saved and your role together is to help one another get to the finish line, more fit for heaven, well, as the pagans would say, good luck. Let's get to our number one stories, shall we? The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They've had a first transgender bishop. This is, listen, can you hear Martin Luther spinning in his grave like a lathe right now? The Evangelical Lutheran Church has, I'm afraid, been, and we don't say this glibly, or that sure seems like a rush to judgment. No, this has been going on for decades, that the ELCA has been absolutely apostate. Well, there's no doubt there's enough literature, at least, and a Bible in the pews that somebody can get saved. This is a denomination that has been a goner for a long time. The new bishop, who's a, okay, he's a man who believes that he's a woman. By the way, speaking of this confusion, believe it or not, I was watching a Bill Maher clip. I don't know why. I find myself seeing him more these days than ever before because he keeps popping up in conservative news feeds. Look, Bill Maher gets it, which is really, if you've ever wanted to be in the Twilight Zone, we're in it right now. And Bill Maher was talking about the new words that are used. And that specific, it was a tweet from AOC. And AOC was scolding people who were assuming that only women have the ability to menstruate. Men can too. Duh, don't you get it? All right, well, we know better than that because a man does not have those parts in order to produce that. But because they are firmly committed to the idea that if you just say you're that, then that's what you are, they're now claiming that a man can menstruate. And don't forget, he can get pregnant too. So I was thinking to myself, if that's the case, if men can get pregnant, does that mean we get to talk about abortion now? After all, it's no longer just a woman's issue, is it? So I guess the game is on and we can talk about the life issue again, which we should be talking about a lot because never before has the baby in the womb been more under assault. Encourage you, support preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched, because they are actually on the ground level doing things to save babies' lives in a culture that is increasingly committed to killing our own children. This man who believes that he's a woman will lead one of the church's 65 synods, overseeing nearly 200 congregations in Northern California and Northern Nevada. So it looks like plenty of influence for this fella. Quote, my call is to be up to the same messy, loving things I was up to before. Messy? Messy. Isn't that a cute word? My installation will celebrate all that is possible. This is going to hurt, Christian. My installation will celebrate all that is possible when we trust God to shepherd us forward. Well, what you're trusting is maybe your feelings, but it certainly isn't God and His Word. How much more clear does it need to be? So they, because that's the preferred pronoun, became one of seven LGBTQ pastors accepted by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in 2010 after it allowed ordination of pastors in same-sex relationships. This man who believes he's a woman is married and has two children. I'm sure everyone is thriving. The ELCA, while dwindling as quickly as a denomination can wither and die, still has 3.3 million members. Number one, in tourism, in Kentucky. Do you know who it is? Go ahead, guess. I'll bet you can, now that I've kind of set it up like this. The number one tourist destination in Kentucky, it ain't the whiskey shop or whatever they call it. The distillery, I guess. The hooch store. No, it's not the place where they do that. It is Answers in Genesis. The Creation Museum and the Ark are the number one tourist destinations in all of Kentucky. That means they're bringing a lot of money into the state of Kentucky because most people come from outside of the state of Kentucky. If you have never been to either the Ark or to the Creation Museum, encourage you to get there. Spend a day at each place, easily, a day at each place. Then you'll be able to read stuff and learn a ton. Congratulations to Answers in Genesis. There were a number of naysayers, perhaps not so much with the Creation Museum, but definitely with the Ark. You're building a big boat in the middle of Kentucky and people are going to come see it? Yeah, in droves. Congratulations to China. They're number one, sadly, in a lot of things these days. Mobile users in China ranked number one for time spent on mobile apps in the first quarter of 2021, followed by India, then Brazil, and then the United States. We're spending more time gaming, looking at stuff because of COVID-19. The kids are staying home, etc. Nevertheless, it is China that's number one in staring at their electronic device. The reason that I know that statistic is because it is inside of a different headline that says China moves to limit social media, gaming as teens get more addicted, and mental health is impacted. Man, when the Chinese see it, it does affect kids. And the whole self-esteem and their body image issues, it's real. They feel it. They're very self-aware at that age. And when they don't measure up to what they're seeing online, they get very, very depressed. And I think it is one, just one, of the contributors to the increasing number one cause of death among teenagers. Suicide. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for deciding to join us today on Wretched Radio. We're certainly appreciative of you, and we appreciate your time, and do not take it for granted. We'd also like for you to take some time and check out Wretched TV, a daily 30-minute program with host Todd. Wretched TV contains live witnessing encounters and discussions of tough theological issues and various topics in the Christian community. You can find those full-length Wretched TV episodes available right now at wretched.org/TV. Wretched TV is also available on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV Stick. And it's only because of our gospel partners that we can make Wretched TV available to everyone. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Help us to continue making Wretched available to everyone. Wretched will honor your generous gifts with faithful stewardship and full accountability. You can give online at wretched.org or text the word Wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this Holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
We have been so busy here at Wretched. How busy? We've been a Jehovah's Witness in the doorbell aisle at Home Depot busy around here. We've moved our warehouse. We've released new resources, Wretched Worldview and Solving the God Puzzle. And we're getting set to release Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth while also filming Season 3. And we're also filming a new series about biblical counseling called Transformed. But you'll hear no complaints from us. Only gratitude. We are grateful for this opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and spread His gospel throughout the world. And we know we would not be able to do these things without the support of our gospel partners. If you're already supporting our efforts to reach millions all over the world with the gospel, we humbly thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Just head over to wretched.org/donate, or you can also text the word wretched to the number 44321. And thank you for your generosity, and thank you for keeping us busy.
Know your church fathers. Cyprian was a 3rd century theologian from Carthage, North Africa, where he served as bishop until he was beheaded under Emperor Valerian. Cyprian authored a book called On the Unity of the Church, stressing the unity of the universal church as well as the importance and authority of the local church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Guess, just go ahead and guess how many minutes per day. This is Wretched Radio.
Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. For a cheerful toast and fill it. Happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it. Happy anniversary.
Big note.
Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
This is Wretched Radio. Happy 18th anniversary to our very own Jimmy Jam.
Hey, I appreciate the sentiment, but that guy really needs to be fired.
And the odds, you beat him. Because if you remember the betting pool when you got married, it did not look good.
No.
But congratulations, you made it for 18 years.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's something. I'll never forget watching The Tonight Show as a kid. This is back in Johnny Carson days. And he'd find somebody in the audience, or he was alerted to somebody in the audience. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary. And everybody clapped. And I thought, well, duh, you're just supposed to be. What's the big deal? Well, then I got married. And I realized that my wife lives with a sinner. And that it is not easy to get to 50 years. It is a perpetual work that has the fruit of sanctification. If you've been lacking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then let your spouse help you. Because with your spouse, you have every opportunity in the world to practice patience, mercy, loving kindness. That's what marriage is all about, a school of character. Jimmy, how many minutes do you think China is limiting the kids and their social media machines under the age of 18 years old? Wow.
Minutes.
It's 40 minutes.
40 minutes?
Yeah, you're right. 40 minutes.
Wow.
That's what you get per day. And if you go over, well, I don't know, they put you in a gulag or whatever it is that they do in China to people that don't obey. But they are limiting it because they are seeing the dangers of it. Mom, Dad, you raise your kids the way that you see fit. But if the communists think it's a good idea, they're worried about a different ideology. What they're concerned about is that the kids become detached and they aren't getting indoctrinated enough. And isn't that what we should be worried about?
Mm-hmm.
That our kids are getting indoctrinated to the truth. I had a chance to talk to Ted Tripp, author of Shepherding a Child's Heart, and he's persuaded the number one challenge for parents today is social media. If you don't have a plan, you can plan on failure. You can plan on kids who become rebellious. You can plan on kids who really don't want to listen to what you have to say. Plan on having kids that they're never around anymore. Where are they? Oh, they're looking at their cell phone. Hold away someplace. Have a plan. You may or may not want to go with the communist 40-minute plan. In late August, China implemented new rules for young gamers in the country. Online game providers can now only allow young users to play for an hour between 8 and 9 p.m. on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and on official holidays. Otherwise, you get 40 minutes. That's what you get. And speaking of China, banning, quote, sissy men. Why? Because they want to save the revolutionary culture. Isn't that really what a culture war is all about? There is somebody who is fighting to keep people on their turf. Isn't that what we've been trying to do? We just need to remember how we're supposed to go about doing that. The people who are in China, who are sissy men, who are being told, sorry, you can't be. Now, they might buckle and they might do what they're told, at least in public, but will that change their heart? No. And if you and I merely go about the business of trying to modify people's behavior, while it can be helpful for society, that needs to be acknowledged, it doesn't make an eternal bit of difference. Remember, the devil doesn't care if you are a macho man or a sissy man, as long as you hate Jesus. As long as you don't love the Savior, he doesn't care if you wear a tutu. He cares about whether you love Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wants you to hate him, and he wants our kids to hate him. Which is why, when it comes to parenting, be careful of the behavioral modification thing. It is way easier than you think to fall into that trap. And as long as we're talking about families, here's some good news from Jimmy, have you heard about this COVID thing?
That's a loaded question.
You know what? Just this whole pandemic business. Have you caught any of the stories?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Several.
Yeah. It's made it in the news. Here's some good news from it. Can any good thing come out of the COVID nightmare? Yeah. 2 million mothers who are quitting their jobs last year to stay home and raise the kids. That's a good thing, isn't it? This is really an encouraging statistic. In September, more than 800,000 women left the workforce. That was September 2020. Their numbers swell to 2 million now. So it was an initial, well, I'm out. But it continues. The trend is continuing with moms who are staying home to raise the kids. To them, I say, salute. From the article at The Federalist, there is little indication most of these women are leaving or downsizing their work under duress or at the expense of keeping food on the table. Rather, many of these women are responding to something they feel in their bones. The need for stability in the face of crisis, especially for their children. Women are responding to the pandemic by reordering their lives to a saner pace, one more centered on home. There you go. If you didn't think any good thing could come out of the COVID business, and speaking of the COVID business, I'm pretty certain, but I don't want to say the country name, but I received an email from somebody in the country that I'm thinking about, but I'm not confirmed about, that if you don't take the jab, you can't leave the house. No, it wasn't China, by the way. It was a Western country. Well, then, there's another Christian conundrum. Take the jab or you get locked up in your own house. Whew. Listen. Can you hear the founding fathers? Can you hear them saying, what in the world is going on around here? How many children will also benefit from having a parent more accessible, more present? The after effects of 2020 may well be in the existential moment we admit we've let an out-of-control culture place insane expectations on our lives as women. Perhaps so. This is an insane pace that we live in. We're up to it mostly, but isn't it bearing fruit in the form of depression, anxiety, a lack of fulfillment, a lack of contentment, and a lack of the P word? That's right. I'm going to use it, even though there might be a trademark cost. Purpose. People are lacking it. They don't have it because they don't understand how the world works, which, by the way, is a working title of a book that I'm writing right now. I had a chance to work on it for about 10, 12 hours over the weekend. That was nifty. How the world works. What are the principles that guide it? Because there is more to this universe than natural or scientific law. There are metaphysical, spiritual laws. And if you tend to obey them, you will tend to do better in life. You tend to family matters. You stay married for at least 18 years, give or take. You have kids and raise them well. And even if you're not a Christian home, it's gonna go better for you. Because that's the way it works. Because that's the way that God has ordered it. More details on that book. Some year. Depression or lack of motivation come because physically a woman can't replenish the dopamine and serotonin that her body used to produce more easily. If she burns the candle at both ends with 12-hour days and lost sleep, it will show up as anxiety. Those are the physical realities of life in the estrogen-rich female body. Isn't that something that God made women like that for a very noble purpose? To be the nurturer, to be the homemaker. Isn't it a tragedy? If you had to take a look at one of the tragedies of the 20th century, wouldn't it have to be the attitude toward women who stay at home? Remember the feminist movement? Hey, we just want equality here. Okay, you got it. Now they look at women who stay at home like, hey, what's the matter with you? They completely done the very thing that they used to accuse others of doing. Today, the attitude towards stay-at-home moms, it is very low in our culture. And in the church, we should be working really, really hard to be encouraging women who find themselves on a treadmill. It is a marathon treadmill run, raising those kids in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Because remember, what does it profit a family if they raise up their son to not be a sissy man, but he doesn't love Jesus Christ? Got a question for you, Pastor, if you don't mind me asking. Maybe you've missed some opportunities to encourage families and stay-at-home moms because, well, you're afraid of the whiplash. Might I encourage you to consider not crumbling to that pressure? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, the new governor of New York wants to make everything safer for everybody, so she's trying to curb the spread of the pro-life message. Yep, that's right. Governor Kathy Hochul wrote a letter to Facebook kingpin Mark Zuckerberg asking him to censor what she calls misinformation about abortion laws, procedures, and their availability. So wherever there are pro-life advancements, Hochul wants Facebook to silence those who promote them, but it's apparently okay when baby murder is supported. She wants those posts to get gold stars. Looks like New York replaced one winner with another. Well, last Thursday, a Barack Obama-appointed federal judge denied the Biden administration's request to immediately block the Texas heartbeat abortion ban. U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman said the law is far too complex and requires presentations from both sides in court. Representatives with Texas Right to Life say they fully expect Pittman to eventually side with Biden's Department of Justice, but that they are prepared to continue defending the law. Well, how's about a heartwarming story for your Monday? You're going to have to go somewhere else to get that. The largest teachers union in Pennsylvania is promoting a new 10-hour, three-part workshop that is designed to silence white families. That's right. They are proudly promoting this workshop, saying white families have been the key component that blocks educational equity. And the Pennsylvania State Education Association is dead set on silencing an entire racial group because it's just a normal day in the new America that we're living in. And honestly, there seems to be a lot more to this story that I'm just not going to report, but I will give you one key quote to ponder. Quote, "I think the only way you can equalize schools is by recognizing this fact and trying wherever possible to suppress the power of white parents." Sounds an awful lot like Marxism to me. Well, cartoons aren't exactly what they used to be at all. From the Cartoon Network, HBO Max, and Netflix is a whole slew of woke programming that's coming down the pike, and it's designed to brainwash and indoctrinate your children. One of those cartoons on the way is called Little Ellen, where an animated Ellen DeGeneres is depicted and followed. Then there's also Jessica's Little Big World, which features non-binary and other LGBTQ characters because obviously it's way more important to teach our kids about 19,000 made-up pretend genders instead of their ABCs and 1-2-3s. And the worst of it has to be the reboot of Tom and Jerry. Actually, I don't know what they're doing to Tom and Jerry, but they are rebooting Tom and Jerry, but I can't tell you exactly what it is they're doing. But Warner Media says that they are not intentionally brainwashing your children. Their quote is, "We're not intentionally brainwashing your children. We're just being intentional about what they learn." Somebody want to tell them that's the same thing, just said differently? I don't know. But that's your news for today. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And as long as Jimmy brought up the vaccine, this is Wretched Radio. This might be of help to you if you are faced with a mandate to take a jab that you believe is a sin. How do you respond to your boss? How do you respond to your government if they mandate a vaccine? A couple of resources that might be helpful for you if this is your situation. Alliance Defending Freedom is one. I'm glad because I went looking there about a month ago and they didn't have anything. Now they do. ADF, that's Alliance Defending Freedom, has produced resources to help pastors and church members understand the current law as it relates to religious objections to vaccine mandates. And they provide the link. And then they've also got some information at their site regarding a religious exemption. If you are seeking one, you would do well to understand what the playing field looks like because it's a little bit rigged. You can't use science. Why? Because the FDA is giving a thumbs up to the jab. So you can't say, I'm afraid of the health of it. You can't just say that. Now, do I believe you can tie that in theologically? Absolutely. It's the theology of the body. Encourage you to avail yourself of the programs that we did on that. You've got to tie it to something theological. You've got to tie it to a firmly held religious conviction. So if you just say things like, I think Fauci is a crook, it's not going to help you. Now, I think the whole thing is a scam. It's not going to help you. Let's see what we can learn from Alliance Defending Freedom. When you fill out your religious exemption, you could cite Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, as amended by the Equal Employment Opportunity Act of 1972, prohibits many private and government employers from discriminating against their employees on the basis of, among other things, religion. Title VII entitles you, the employee, to request exemptions from the employer's directives that would violate sincerely held religious beliefs. So if you're going to try to file for a religious exemption, make it religious, like thoroughly. Don't forget the abortion issue if that is your issue. Employers imposing vaccination mandates must recognize legitimate requests from their employees to be exempted from such vaccination programs based on the objecting employee's sincerely held religious beliefs. Have we heard that phrase enough now? Unless to do so would impose an undue hardship on the employer. It's a religious thing. It's not a medical thing. It's not a science thing. It's not a vaccine thing. And it's not a vaccine, by the way. But nevertheless, it's just not enough to say that it is about those issues. It has to be a sincerely held religious belief. Religious accommodation requests should be in writing and clearly articulate the religious basis for the accommodation request. Religious accommodation requests should avoid asserting non-religious objections to the vaccines or the vaccination program, such as health, medical, or political objections. Make it about your faith. It is inappropriate for an employer to demand that an employee support their religious accommodation request with statements from the employee's church or clergy. They might, because they are serving as a board to determine if your religious conviction is sincere. Now, please note, as we have said before here on Wretched Radio, that there are some people who say, well, provide it, get it, give it to them. Other people say, don't. You don't need to. All you need to do is say, it's a religious exemption I'm seeking. That should be enough. You'll have to make the call on that for yourself, what you think is best. But according to ADF, it's inappropriate for your employer to demand supporting documents for your religious accommodation. Conduct of an employee that appears to be inconsistent with the religious beliefs underlying the employee's religious objection may undermine the employee's religious accommodation request. In other words, the employee asserts a religious objection to COVID-19 vaccination on the ground that his body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but ingests other medications, food, or substances with potentially harmful effects. That's fascinating that they've latched on to that. I do believe that you can say, I believe my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that this vaccination is a threat to that temple. And I have very legitimate reasons for coming to that conclusion, and you'll have to do the research on that. But you should also be aware they might throw that in your face. Yeah, have you ever smoked a cigarette? Do you ever eat anything that is high in cholesterol? They aren't playing. Be prepared for your response. I would say that it would not be unreasonable. If you eat Doritos 3 times a day as your main course, they might actually have a point. But I think that you could say ingesting foods that are available in a grocery store is a far cry from a vaccination injected into my body that has not had the amount of time necessary for vaccines to be determined safe. Employers who grant religious accommodations might be able to require unvaccinated employees to wear masks, socially distance, undergo testing, telework, or to be reassigned. You can learn more at Alliance Defending Freedom, Alliance Defending Freedom. But I have some more inside baseball for you regarding the vaccination. This is actually written from a site that helps you as a manager, as a boss, a leadership site, to help you to identify if somebody's being sincere or not regarding their religious exemption. Did you know that they've been working on stuff like this, it seems? The article, the website article, says guidance issued by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says that employers must try to accommodate employees who are unvaccinated due to medical condition that precludes vaccination or a religious objection to the vaccine. No, they must honor it unless there is an undue burden placed on the business. So if you had a religious exemption where you said, well, every day I need to be able to play this cymbal really loud for 40 minutes every other hour, it's really religious to me, they could say it really doesn't matter because you're disturbing the workplace and we can't accommodate that. Otherwise, they shouldn't try to. According to Civil Rights Act 1964, Title VII, no, they have to. Nevertheless, this article tries to help the employer spot a phony. So let's read what they say to the employer to spot a phony so that if you're filing for a religious exemption, you don't get called one. Know your employees or consult with people who do, such as direct supervisors. Does their history indicate that they really do have sincerely religious beliefs or moral ethical beliefs that rise to the level of being religious in nature? That's shocking because we're not supposed to talk about those things at work. So you're going to have to be prepared for that. That they say, well, we've never known you to be a religious person before. Be prepared for an answer. Like, I'm certain there are a lot of things you don't know about all of your employees and what they do in their private time or what they do on their break time. Be ready. This is their tactic. Familiarize yourself with the canned forms available on the internet as if somehow that disqualifies. I'm just reading what they're looking for because a lot of employers are just wanting to make this as airtight as possible. Ask the employees seeking religious objections to provide a written narrative explaining their objective to the vaccine and the religious basis for their objection. This would be one of those times when you're going to have a lot of parentheses with Bible verses. Letters from ministers, priests, rabbis, etc. They're great, but don't rule out an employee's sincere belief just because the employee is unable to provide one. As noted, not every believer belongs to a place of worship, and there is diversity of belief even within established religions and denominations. Well, that was positive. If the narrative supports the request for religious accommodation, then accept it as valid and go to the next step of determining whether you can accommodate without undue hardship. Well, there's the rule. If the narrative does not support the request, for instance, it shows the employee's objection is entirely political or based on fears about the side effects, that's not unreasonable. You could say that with any medication. I'm not buying that, but you should be aware that that's their attitude. Then deny the request. These may be legitimate reasons to oppose vaccination, but they are not religious in nature. so don't make it political. To determine whether the employee's objection is religious in nature, ask questions. And they're going to try to trick you into making it about politics or about the safety of it. If you do use the safety angle, which I think you can, make sure you make it just saturated in religion. Can the employee reasonably articulate why he or she believes the vaccination would be useful? In other words, it's game on. If you're seeking a religious exemption to the vaccination, make sure you make it theological. This is Wretched Radio. If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Calling all hands and feet, we need you again. Over the years, you have partnered with us to distribute over 1 million copies of The Biggest Question and another million copies of What Time is Purple? Well, now we need you again. We know you have it in you to help distribute 1 million copies of our newest booklet, Solving the God Puzzle. Solving the God Puzzle helps answer the doubts people have on the existence of God. A lot of what we encounter today is mere hopelessness, and helping people to tackle this issue is of the utmost importance because eternity is at stake here. That's why we want you to partner with us in getting this booklet into as many hands as possible. We will send you as many copies of Solving the God Puzzle as you promised to give away free. And we'll even cover the shipping if you request more than a case. All of the details and your copies of Solving the God Puzzle right now at wretched.org/puzzle. That's wretched.org/puzzle.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Books of the Bible. The book of Isaiah is a collection of prophecies given to Isaiah. It can be divided in two parts. Isaiah delivered bad news to Israel and the surrounding nations concerning God's judgment, and he delivered good news of salvation for those who repent. Isaiah also offers detailed prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, who offers eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please step into the examination room. That sounded creepy, didn't it? This is Wretched. Sounded kind of nefarious, like we're up to some sort of sci-fi. No, we're not going to do some sort of scientific test on you. Instead, it's going to be a spiritual test to diagnose your spiritual health. How are you doing? Perhaps this little examination, a 10-pointer from Paul Todges, will be helpful. Paul Todges, by the way, is a name, if you're not familiar with it, he's got some really good stuff on issues of biblical counseling nature, on the issues of mental health. In fact, I think Was it Paul who just... Are you familiar with the Help series? Help! Exclamation point, and then fill in the blank. Jimmy, if you'd be so kind,
okay,
would you go to Shepherd's Press and find the Help! Exclamation point books so that you can go through and start reading some of them? I was just there the other day. They've got page after page of these books. Help! I'm diagnosed with breast cancer. Help! I have OCD. Help! My marriage has grown cold. Help! And one of them was, I have Parkinson's disease. I did not know a million people have Parkinson's disease. Why is that on the up? Anybody want to explain it? I've got a theory. Would you like to hear my totally unsubstantiated scientific theory? Friel, why not? That's all we're given these days. Deodorant. It's all coming through your armpits. I'm certain of it. Just think about the chemicals that you slather all over your underarms every single day. What's in that stuff? Those have got to be chemicals that are getting in there and doing something, aren't they? That's my theory. And believe me, it's as good as all of the other theories these days. You find it, Jimmy? Shepherd's Press?
I'm on the hunt.
All right, you're on the hunt. Let me know. Just throw a yellow flag when you find it.
Okay.
10 questions to diagnose your spiritual health. Ready? Number one, do you thirst for God? You say, what does that look like? It looks like you are a man or a woman who is bent on learning more about him because you dive into his word, church, Bible studies, because you just want to know more about God, which is a really good word for all of us who do like to study theology. We should be studying theology because we want to learn more about God, not just to get smarter with stuff, but so that I learn more about him so that I can love him more. Isn't that the 8-inch challenge from head to heart? Number two, are you governed increasingly by God's word? Are you not doing things today that you used to do? That's good. Your spiritual health, that's a good test result right there. Uh-oh. You've still got things that you're dealing with? Please know, Christians are going to wrestle with sin all their days. But if you're not seeing certain things slough off, and furthermore, I would add on, conversely, if you're not seeing new things added on, not that you're doing new things, but that you're suddenly aware that you're doing things that are contrary to God's will, that should be happening too, because that is yet another one of the Christian paradoxes. As you grow in holiness, you're sinning less as you realize you sin way more than you ever thought. Is that happening in your heart? That is a spiritual test. Are you more loving? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you growing in fruit of the Spirit? Not just love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Any uptick? Any increase? Any expanded volume in those areas? Yes, that's a good thing. Number four. Here's a test to see if you've got more love. Ask your family. This is a good idea. Write down a bunch of attributes on a piece of paper. So, loving, kind, good, gentle, patient, forgiving, angry, short-tempered, yelling, mean, unforgiving, uncharitable, and then give it to your family and say, why don't you circle all the ones that apply to your dear old dad? Hey, that could be revealing, couldn't it? I wonder how many men would be willing to do that. No, we're supposed to be wild at heart. Actually, we're supposed to be humble of mind and heart. Number four, are you more sensitive to God's presence? Want to be careful with that, so let me explain it. Go often to the scripture where God revealed himself most clearly. And you don't want to get mystical. You don't want this to become some sort of seance that you have. But you do need to be aware that God is working through his word in your heart, and he is always near us. And that should cheer us, not in some mystical sort of, I saturate in the presence of God. And by the way, it's usually the Holy Spirit, which apparently, according to a survey, most Christians don't actually believe in. I don't know if you saw this. Most adult U.S. Christians don't believe, here's what the headline says, don't believe Holy Spirit is real. Not the Holy Spirit, just Holy Spirit, like he's our pal, first name basis. Of an estimated 176 million adults who identify as Christian, that's a lot, just 6%, there's our number again, just 6% or 15 million of them actually hold a biblical worldview. That's from Arizona Christian University. Strong majorities errantly believe that all religious beliefs are of equal value. People are basically good. And that people can use acts of goodness to earn their way to heaven. That ain't nothing new. That is how every other world religious system flourishes, isn't it? Here's your way to work yourself to nirvana, paradise, heaven. The study further showed that majorities don't believe in moral absolutes. These are Christians, by the way. They consider feelings, experience, or the input of friends and family as their most trusted source of moral guidance. Paging the Bible. Hello, anybody seen the Bible? No. And they say that having faith matters more than which faith you pursue. Ah, postmodernism. Did I mention I'm writing a new book? And the initial chapter is trying to not do a bait and switch, but to say, so this is a book that tells you how the world works. There is no reason you should listen to me. There is no reason that you should listen to any philosopher. And I just did a quick tour through philosophical history, and there is a pattern that is as consistent as the book of Judges. Somebody comes up with a way to explain the way the world works. They come up with an epistemology position, and they have a student who disagrees with them and then comes up with their own epistemology. And then other people start writing against that person who start writing against that. And that's all that philosophy is. It's just one man's opinion after another. It means nothing. We need the Bible. We need the maker's manual. That's what we need. Otherwise, you're just getting an opinion. Jimmy, you find the help business?
I did.
Not exactly a yellow flag, but the hand raising worked.
Well, you were reading.
I thought maybe you wanted to come down to the altar. But your head wasn't bowed and your eyes weren't closed. All right, so just read through some of those.
Oh, my goodness. There's a bunch of them.
Right?
Help, my sibling has a disability. Help, my spouse died. Help, my spouse has been unfaithful. Help, my teen is depressed. My toddler rules the house. Mm. My teen struggles with same-sex attractions. My kids are viewing pornography. My grandchild has a disability. My friend has a disability. My child is being bullied. My anger is out of control.
Okay, we get the point.
Yeah.
It covers a lot of stuff. Yes.
And these are quick reads.
They are very quick reads. They are so helpful. I encourage you to get a rack at your church. Pick out the ones that you think are most appropriate for your guests, visitors, and members, and stock it and just say, free. Number 5, test of spiritual health. Do you have a growing concern for the spiritual and temporal needs of others? Number 6, do you delight in the bride of Christ? In other words, do you love the church, or does it mostly get up your nose? That's a bad sign. We should be loving the church increasingly with all of its flaws, all of its Leah eyes. We should love the church. Number 7, are these spiritual disciplines increasingly important to you? Or did you used to read your Bible more than you do today? Do you still grieve over sin? Are you a quicker forgiverer? I thought that was a paper towel, if I'm not mistaken. Are you a quicker forgiver? Are you a quicker repenter than you used to be? Do you yearn for heaven and to be with Jesus? What do you do with this test? What's the curve? I think we'd all recognize we all need improvement in every area. So look for the areas where those things are increasing and thank God for them. Ask him to continue helping you, and then ask him for his help. in growing in the areas where our spiritual health is a little bit sickly. And I can assure you, he loves that prayer. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.